Walter Wagner. I'm one of the plaintiffs, Louis Foncher, sitting there. We've decided to split our time 5 minutes each or a little bit less, and we flipped a coin. I go first.
Okay.
Welcome to Honolulu. It's my home community here, where I did fly in from Utah. Dr. Satchel flew in from Barcelona. Mr. Arbaugh flew in from Washington, D.C., and I understand you folks flew in from San Francisco, so it's a nice place to meet for discussing the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland. I want to recapitulate where we are with the situation of the Large Hadron Collider. As this group might be aware, in the fall of 2008, there was an unlikely accident that occurred that basically destroyed the machine, or large portions of the machine, and it was shut down for repair for about a year and a half, and retrofit remodification so that they won't have that happen again. It's now currently operating at half energy. It has not yet entered into the regime of engaging in dangerous collisions of the kind that we have sought to enjoin. That is anticipated to occur this coming winter if no action is taken.
Try to explain to us exactly what role the United States plays in all this. I understand it has something like a 10% interest.
Yes, Your Honor. The United States has funded approximately 10% of the construction costs, and it continues to fund the operational costs of some of the experimentation that is anticipated to be taking there.
Could we enjoin anything more than further monetary contributions? The United States doesn't have any role in the operation, is that right?
It does have a role in the operation. The experimentation cannot proceed, or the operation is essentially moot if the United States involvement in the experimentation was not there. If there are four experimental chambers, which the United States operates two of them. So there's the machine, and then there are the experimental chambers, and they are integrated with each other. One cannot operate without the other. So the United States operates two of those experimental chambers and continues funding on that. In addition, the equipment that the United States has already funded, paid for, that is sitting there, the United States has an obligation to maintain that should there be repairs and so forth of that equipment for the machine itself. Okay. Sure. All right, in a minute. Anyway, does that answer your question, Your Honor?
Well, it's quite unclear to me exactly. If we said, United States, get out of this, you can't participate any further, would the proceedings go ahead with the other participants?
We don't know what they would do. They might continue, but they would not be able to continue in the manner in which they are doing. The United States additionally has jurisdiction under the Patriot Act, and under the United States Code Section 831 over nuclear substances, where the United States can intervene in actions in foreign countries that involve threats to U.S. citizens involving nuclear materials. And this is essentially what this is. They are.
So you're asking us to authorize an invasion of France?
Absolutely not.
I have real trouble understanding how the Patriot Act applies to this.
Well, the Patriot Act confers jurisdiction over anything that's going on anywhere in the world, essentially, that involves
jurisdiction in federal court.
Does the federal court have jurisdiction over the U.S. military? I believe it does, and the U.S. military intervenes all over the globe under the Patriot Act. So
we have the power to tell the military what to do. It's just a general, broad proposition. I understand you don't practice law.
Sure.
You went to law school. Doesn't that sound like a pretty unlikely broad proposition? I mean, we are a court of limited jurisdiction. What is the source of our authority that you want us to use?
The source of the authority that I sought for this court to use is the NEPA, Your Honor, as is detailed in the briefing, the National Environmental Protection Act. This is essentially the same source of authority that would give this court jurisdiction over British Petroleum when they sought to obtain a drilling permit from the Rain Management Service, arguing that they should be exempted from NEPA because of the unlikely scenario of having an environmental disaster, and that argument was...
Well, that's the reason, I brought that up as a reason for being excused from the obligations of NEPA.
Yes, and that's essentially the same argument.
Although we certainly have control over the Gulf.
Yes, we do, and
we don't have control over Switzerland.
We do over the money that flows into Switzerland, and that's the control we're asking. Essentially, that's all we're asking, is that the U.S. stop its funding. We're not asking that the U.S. go in and invade Switzerland. No, that's not what we're asking.
Has there been any NEPA review?
There has been no NEPA review. And that's what we're asking, that this court uphold the law, enforce NEPA, and allow it. I'd like to let Dr. Satcher use his 5 minutes, if I may.
All right. Well, I was intending to read a long statement, but there is not much time here. On your question on jurisdiction, I think this should be jurisdiction according to NEPA. And I think the comparison with the British Petroleum spill is clear. If there is a spill of black holes or strangelets in this machine, there is no way to stop that. There is no safety measure taken by this company. That's why the company is denying the risk. I want to stress 4 points. The truth, the explosive truth about this machine is that it's both a research machine and an experimental weapon, in the sense that these machines are used to create nuclear explosives and study the particles that come out of that. The question with those new nuclear explosives and this machine is that the two nuclear substances we fear, black holes and strangelets, they are self-feeding bombs that feed in the mass of the Earth. They provoke supernova explosions and big bangs. So, if there is a spill of those substances, and there is a lot of theoretical work backing it by Mr. Einstein, who is the founder of the theory of black holes and quark strange condensates, which CERN denies, and is bringing a series of theories who are not proved, like Mr. Hawking, who denied Mr. Einstein, if the standard science, which is the science that should be upheld in a court, is right, any spill of those substances will provoke the destruction of the Earth, because those substances will fall to the center of the Earth and feed on the matter of this planet. That's why, unlike British Petroleum that is trying to cap this thing, there is no way to cap this thing. That's why there are, for me, a series of NEPA obligations which didn't follow the company. Environmental laws in Europe, which asked for a panel of independent scientists to evaluate the risk of this machine, they were not also followed, because the risks are so huge, there is only a possibility of denial. Denial of the risk, denial of standard instance theory of black holes, and of course denial of any external authority to the company. The possibility of applying the Patriot Act or the U.S. Code Section 831, which states, quote, the nature of nuclear contamination is such that it may affect the health, environment, and property of United States nationals, even if the acts that constitute the illegal activity occur outside the territory of the United States and are primarily directed towards foreign nationals. So even in a foreign territory, the United States, if there is a huge risk, like in this case, could interfere. Of course, I don't ask for a political intervention.
What can the court do to redress the problem you identified?
Well, Ms. Helen Bloomer said that this should be addressed by politicians, which is what I think should be addressed. If politicians knew the truth, both in Europe, our allies, and here in America, they will address politically and administratively.
The court can decide what you will tell politicians to do.
Yeah.
As a judge, I don't have the power to say, you politicians, you enact this law, or you take this action.
I know, but a positive jurisdictional suit on this matter would alert politicians take seriously the matter, study, review it with independent scientists, and realize this is a nuclear company with a lot of interest, industrial interest, scientific interest, bureaucratic interest, that is not responding to the laws of NEPA, to the obligations of environmental laws in Europe, is lying to the public, and is just playing like any big company, taking a big risk on lives and expecting that nothing happens. There's no prevention in this company. There's no safety at all. So the only thing we ask the court is to accept jurisdiction under NEPA because they did violate NEPA. And allow this to become a serious matter because it is a serious matter.
Are you acquainted with the doctrine of standing?
But
standing?
Dr.
Standing to sue?
I didn't understand your question.
Partner does.
I'm familiar with the doctrine of standing, yes, and we have standing to sue because we are citizens of the, I am a citizen of the United States, and Dr. Zanger, even though he's not a citizen of the United States, he is a resident of the United States, and so we have standing underneath.
You think that being a citizen of the United States gives you standing?
It gives me any citizen
of the United States can come up here and... say, I'm a citizen of the United States.
No, that's not what I'm saying. The standing arises from the fact that this activity in Switzerland will affect me here in the United States, even in, here in Hawaii, where the suit was filed, because this should it create this kind of a condition of creating strangelets, it would affect me here in Hawaii, and that's what gives me a standing. Not the fact that they're doing something in Switzerland, but that what they're doing in Switzerland can affect me here in Hawaii.
Well,
that's what gives us standing.
But there's a element of speculation there, is there not?
It's a 50-50, so far as we know. There's an element of speculation on part of Dr. Sancho as well.
And please, standard science in this case is Mr. Einstein. This is not a speculation. It's a standard science. When we treat light, lights come always on. This is a standard science. A speculation is what Sun is saying. Mr. Hawking is not a Nobel Prize, never has been proved, and Mr. Einstein says that they will destroy the Earth. So speculation is on the side of Sun.
Okay. Let's hear from the government now.
Okay, may I read one very brief quote that was in the amicus brief?
I can't stop you because you look a little like Judge Reinhardt.
I apologize for that, Your Honor.
That's exactly what I
thought. I feel sorry for his family. Let me read very briefly. This is what Sheldon Glashow wrote. The strangest disaster scenario described by Glashow and Wilson would only be credible if strangers exist, which is conceivable, and if they form reasonably stable lumps, which is unlikely. That's the weasel word. And if they are negative and uncharged, unlikely. Again, the weasel word, it's less than 50% chance. Given that current theory strongly favors positive charges, and if tiny strangers can be created at RIC, then there might just be a problem. A newborn stranger could engulf atomic nuclei growing relentlessly and ultimately consuming the entire Earth. Okay, that was from... The amicus curiae, Sheldon Glashow and Robert Wilson co-authored a paper taken seriously in Nature magazine. It was then quoted in the amicus brief from that.
So you went to school where?
I went to a lot of places. I teach school and I went to school at UC Berkeley as a physics major initially, a degree in biology.
And where did you go to law school?
I went to law school in Sacramento, several schools. McGeorge School of Law, Lincoln University, Lorenzo Pantino School of Law.
Thank you.
You sounded like a Berkeley guy.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not. I would take that as a compliment.
I'm a Berkeley graduate. So.
Yes, I did graduate research at Berkeley, and then I did work under, probably on the federal payroll before you were.
Oh, yeah? When did you go?
1979.
I've been on the payroll since
1941. I apologize. I take it back. Okay. But it's been a while.
What?
It's been a while.
Thank you.
When did you start?
When did I start what?
71?
Law school?
No, on the payroll.
79, yeah, it's been a while.
Thank you.
Paying your taxes.
Yes, I've gone off the payroll after 5 years.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, the gentleman here has been on the payroll, I don't think since 79, certainly not as long as you.
Yeah. Well, are you carrying the future of the fate of the future of the world on your shoulders?
I feel like I have a great responsibility here this morning, Your Honor, and I only have ten minutes in which to discharge it. Well, I'm John Arbab on behalf of the...
What Einstein said, I think, time isn't a factor.
Right, time is it's relative, and the clock can always keep running.
It's irrelevant, really.
If I might,
that's what I tell people when I'm late.
Which is constant.
I'm a constant force.
Your Honor, I would like to try to refocus on the legal issues that are actually involved in this appeal. As the court...
How about standing? Do you want to address that?
I would like to, because that's the first issue that really must be addressed. As we discuss in the brief, there's a serious standing problem with the plaintiff's ability to bring the suit based on the redressability and causation requirements of Article III standing. The basic problem is that the suit seeks an order from a federal court enjoining further operation of the LHC. The problem is that the only entity with authority to do that is not any of the federal defendants, but CERN, who is not a defendant in this case. So the harm, the alleged harm, the operation of the LHC is not fairly traceable to either of the federal appellees.
Kind of explain to us the structure and what participation the United States has. Apparently it operates a couple of experimental laboratories.
Your Honor, there's some confusion in the briefing about this, but I think the facts are pretty simple, according to the record.
Speak up just a little bit.
The facts are pretty simple, although there's been some confusion in the briefing about this point. First of all, as the district court found, the two federal agencies here, Department of Energy and National Science Foundation, contributed a very small amount of the total construction costs of the LHC, less than 10%.
A very small proportion, but I have difficulty saying it's a small amount.
Yes.
Over $500 million.
It's about $530 million, Your Honor, but under the circuit's case law, the relevant comparison is not just the figure in the abstract. It's how it measures up compared to the total expenditure of all parties, including the non-federal contributors. And here, as in many of the court's cases, like Rattlesnake Coalition, Kamakani, Friends of the Earth, the percentage of the government's contribution is...
Is there any case where the number of dollars is in nine digits that's been held not to be a major federal action?
Well,
I just don't think that's your strong point with regard to standing.
Your Honor, this issue would not go to standing. This goes to whether the LHC is a major federal action, which would be the merits issue, assuming that one of the plaintiffs had standing.
We're going to talk about standing.
Yes, I was just answering Judge Fletcher's question about the exact nature of the government's involvement in the project. So there's the construction, the small percentage of construction funding, which is less than 10%. And the relevance of that is, as I said, major federal action is not indicated where such a small percentage is federal funding.
I guess I'm more interested in what operational things that it currently is doing.
Yes, Your Honor. As we discussed in the brief, and as is detailed in the declaration of Dr. Strauss, the Department of Energy has, subject to funding from Congress, has in the past, in fiscal year 2009, allocated some monies toward support of U.S. scientists doing research on two of the four detectors. But that's completely unrelated to the gravamen of the suit, which is that the plaintiffs don't want the accelerator itself to operate. The accelerator operates irrespective of whether the U.S. scientists participate in research on two of the four detectors. And that's quite clear from the Strauss Declaration.
he states that even
if
the...
Can you speak a little louder?
Yes, Your Honor, I'm sorry.
There's been a big bang and all I hear is a whisper.
I'm sorry. The Strauss Declaration makes clear that even if the U.S. scientists who are doing research on the two of the four detectors packed their bags and went home tomorrow, the LHC would still continue to operate. It's not as if this kind of support for U.S. researchers has any effect on whether the LHC will continue to operate or not. So that fact is relevant for two reasons. First, as to standing, it only reinforces the problem here with redressability and causation. And secondly, it also reinforces the point that the LHC is not a major federal action because it indicates that the federal agencies have no control or authority over whether the LHC continues to operate. They fund some scientists doing research on the detectors, and that's it. So based on the record that was compiled before the district court, it's quite clear that that neither plaintiff had standing, even assuming that Mr. Sancho is still an appellant involved in this case on appeal. I think the only other point that I would like to make, unless there are further questions, goes to the major federal action question. Even assuming that the plaintiffs, at least one of the plaintiffs, did have standing to bring the suit, they're asking that NEPA be applied here. And NEPA is not applied, does not even trigger it unless the project at issue is a so-called major federal action under the text of NEPA. Here the district court probably found that the two important guideposts on the major federal action question cut in favor of a conclusion that the LHC is not a major federal action. Again, the first factor being the minimal amount of federal funding as a percentage of the whole, and secondly the fact that the federal agencies have no control over the operation or management of the LHC, that authority being vested exclusively in CERN, who's not even the defendant here. So unless there are further questions, I would just ask that the judgment below be affirmed.
All right. Another question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not certain if I used up our 10 minutes. I'd like to take 1 minute for rebuttal, if I may.
Yeah, well, the government cedes 2 minutes to you.
Thank you. Oh, wonderful. He says CERN is not a defendant. CERN is a defendant. CERN, as a defendant, defaulted at the trial court level, did not appear in court, but it is a defendant. Basically, they did not want to show up and argue their case. And so, but they are a defendant.
They weren't properly served.
That's what they subsequently, the government has complained that they were not properly served, and we never really delved into that issue in depth at the trial court level because it went up on appeal before we did so. I believe they were properly served, but we can always serve them again if it gets back to the trial court, or when it gets back to the trial court. And as for the standing, yes, the government has conceded that the U.S. government is continuing to fund two of those four detectors, and those are integral parts of the operation. There's no point in operating the machine if you're not going to have the detector there. It's integral to it, and so it's sort of like having a car.
Somebody else fund those portions of the project?
Pardon?
Could somebody else fund those portions of the project?
I'm sure there are other persons could always step in. The U.S. could have never funded it in the first place. Maybe something might have happened, but those aren't the facts. That's what did happen.
I think what we're dealing with here is a question of whether the United States has a finger on an on-off button. You can see the United States does not have a finger on an on-off button.
It does. It very much so, because if the detectors are off, the machine will not...
You told me somebody else could fund that.
May Mr. Sasso respond?
According to the administrative rules of CERN, if this huge quantity of $500 million disappears, it will be the entire schedule of all the systems. It will have to appropriate money from the European Union, which is not very interested in giving more money for this thing. And so it will really hold the machine and put the issue into the scientific community again. So it will really affect tremendously this machine. It won't work.
Essentially, Your Honor, we wouldn't be asking this court to issue or send it back to the trial court for the trial court to issue injunctive relief if we didn't think it would do anything. We're very confident that should the trial court issue injunctive relief ordering a NEPA or affirming that NEPA was required, that they need to follow NEPA, we don't know what the outcome of NEPA will be. It might very well be that, okay, we'll go through all the procedures, and if everybody's on board with taking that risk, then that would be the outcome. But we don't know what that outcome would be. That's the same with British Petroleum. Perhaps if they'd gone through a NEPA procedure, everybody would have got on board, let's take the risk. But that's not saying that that's what the law is. The law requires that this be reviewed. Thank you, Your
Honor. I got 8 seconds left.
Thank you very kindly for your time, and I appreciate your cordiality.
All right. Thank you. It's interesting. And the matter is submitted, and we'll call the next matter. United States of America versus Dino Tanaka.